Welcome to Black Hawk Church. It is a great morning to worship together. As King David says in Psalm 145, he says, "Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom." Let's worship him. Let's praise him together. Here we go.
Oh, Now we're going to try something a little different together. We invite you to join us in this. If you've been worshiping with us this past month, you know we've been learning about the multicultural, multi-ethnic family of God. And as part of celebrating that, we've sung together a couple times in Spanish. So today we're going to try something kind of similar. We're going to sing the chorus of How Great Thou Art, but we're going to learn it together in Mandarin. And William, who is one of the worship leaders from our Black Hawk Chinese ministry, is here to help teach us how to pronounce the words. So I'll pass it to you in just a minute, William, but one quick encouragement before I do, for all of you who, like me, don't speak any Mandarin, let's give this a shot. Just give it our best try. It's okay if we mess it up. It's okay if we don't do it perfectly. That's the point is not to do it perfectly. The point is for us to try to engage in this deeper reality of the multicultural kingdom of God and the reality that our God is a God who is worshiped constantly in many different languages. So, without further ado, let's give this a shot. William, would you please teach us, just phrase by phrase, how we pronounce these words?
Sure, let's try that. Are you ready? All right. Welcome, welcome. This is fun. So let's go through the chorus part in Mandarin. Please repeat after me, and then we'll get hold of the pronunciation a little bit. All right.
我灵歌唱。
赞美。
救主。
我神。
你真伟大。
何等伟大。Great, you're doing awesome. Let's try sing the chorus together once and see how much we remember.
So we can just hear that and worship by listening. And then maybe when the chorus comes back around, we'll try singing it with you once more.
Yes, let's do that.
All right, thank you.
当初再来, 欢呼声响彻天空, 何等喜乐, 主接我回天家。
Oh,
God. Thank you for your greatness, Lord, that is far beyond what we can fathom, far beyond anything we can comprehend. You are such a great and awesome, high and holy and mighty God, and we want to bow our hearts before you today. We want to thank you for all the ways that we get to experience that greatness through your creation and the beauty of the natural world, through the great and beautiful gospel of how you sent your only son to this earth to die and pay the price for our sins that we could never pay so that we could come into your family and be called your children. We thank you for the great, wonderful future hope that you have guaranteed us, God, and that we know that your promises never fail. We pray that your Holy Spirit would be working in our hearts to transform us and change us more and more into people who will walk through this earth the way that Jesus would want us to. Pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, hello. I want to say, first off, thank you so much for joining us for worship. And for those of you who are in the room, you can go ahead and be seated. For those of you online, if you're standing, you can be seated too. That's cool. Hey, in a moment, we're going to get to our Galatians series, the letter that saved the church. Charles is going to be teaching today, so we're going to get to that in just a moment. But first, I want to share some of the exciting things that are going to be happening here at Blackhawk Church. You know, I don't know if you know this, but almost 1 year ago today was our last kind of gathered service before really quarantine. For us. And so what's exciting about that is that that marked a moment. But what's exciting about that today is that hopefully you've been able to watch Matt's video about us doing a phased reopening. And some of that's already happening. We have volunteers and some specific people in the room today. But you are going to have the chance to come and regather if you would like to. So what we'd like you to do is make sure and watch that video if you haven't already seen it. So you can go online at our website and check that out there. But also, we want to recognize this. We know that everyone is at a different place. And first off, we want to say, welcome to Blackhawk Church. You know, we love you. We care for you. If you're not comfortable regathering yet, that's okay. We are going to do everything that we can to make sure and bring everyone along, people who feel comfortable regathering and those that don't, because you are a part of our community. You're a part of our family, and you matter. So I just want to make sure and say that up front. But for those of you who do feel comfortable regathering and do want to come, I want to ask you if you would consider serving. You know, if you've been a part of Blackhawk Church, you know it's really about all of us coming together. You are a member of this very much, this body, and we use the gifts and talents that God has given us to serve one another. And so maybe you're a person who really loves to play guitar like Travis was playing during the last song. Maybe you love to play the drums and you would like to audition for our worship team. Please let us know. Maybe you like tech and audio and visual. I mean, we're doing a lot right now with online services. We could certainly use a hand. So if that's you, please let us know. Or maybe you would love to welcome and greet people. The truth is, we have a number of different ways that you can serve and be a part of the team here at Blackhawk Church. All we need to know is if you'd like to do that. And you can do that by simply going to our website, blackhawkchurch.org. There's a serve tab. You'll fill out a quick little thing, and then we'll begin the conversation with you this next week. So we're excited about that. We're excited to get to know you as well. Right now, I want to switch gears for a second, because the truth is, as I said, we are a part of a community and part of a family, and a part of our community at Blackhawk Church is hurting right now. There has been a rise in violence towards Asian Americans in our nation, in particular, the elderly. And, you know, the truth is, when one of us is hurting, all of us are hurting. We feel it. In my family, when someone is hurting, we stop and we pray. And so that's what I want to do this morning. I want to ask you to join me in praying right now. God, we pause right now to pray to you and to seek you. Because God, I know, we know that when anyone is hurting, God, you are hurting because you care for your children. God, right now, there is a rise in violence towards our brothers and our sisters in our Asian community. And this has honestly been going on for the past year or so. And God, that's hard and that hurts. That hurts people that we love and people that we care about. And I know it hurts you because it hurts people you love and you care about. God, for some of us listening to this, this maybe even is the first time we've heard about it. So God, I want to pray for a couple things. Lord, I want to pray first off that you would help us to draw our attention to it, bring about awareness and understanding. Second of all, Lord, I want to pray that God, you would move toward it and end this violence. And God, coach us and teach us in the ways that we can be about it as well. Lord, I pray that you would shape our hearts and form us so that we don't see each other as enemies or in us and them, but rather as family. Because the truth is, God, no matter where we come from, Lord, you are our creator, you are our father, you made us. So help us to look at one another in the way you look at each of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for taking a moment to do that. You know, we were able to have an online worship service, online worship night not too long ago. And in fact, we're going to have another one coming up here on March 18th. Here's a preview.
Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows. You win every battle. But nothing can stand against
Hi, everybody. My name is Charles. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team. I want to greet all of you joining us online right now and all of you in the room. So, yeah, we have people in the room. Wow. If you tuned in last week, you know that we are starting this kind of phased-in, in-person worship service, and that's kicking off on March 21st. And so today we have volunteers in the room, and you're here to help us work out the kinks, help us prepare for the relaunch. So thank you guys so very much. So glad you're here. Greetings to the Chinese speakers listening in, 弟兄, 姐妹, 平安, and to everybody. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. We're so very glad you're here. Now, if you've been worshiping with us for a while, you know that I typically start every sermon with a greeting to the Chinese speakers. I say, 弟兄, 姐妹, 平安. And if you don't speak Chinese, 弟兄 means brothers, 姐妹 means sisters, and 平安 means peace. So the whole thing is just brothers and sisters, peace. It's a very common greeting in Chinese churches. This whole practice of calling other Christ followers brothers and sisters, that's been going on for a long time, right? I mean, all kinds of churches and traditions, they do this. They use family language. You have churches where you go, hey, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so. You call everybody that. And there's church traditions where, you know, the priest, well, that's called father. And those in the monastic tradition, men are called brothers and women are called sisters. This is part of our spiritual heritage. It's part of our history. We've had this for a long time. But it wasn't always like this, right? There must have been some point back in time when somebody made the decision to use family language to talk about church. There must have been some point back in time when somebody made a conscious decision to call other Christ followers brothers and sisters. So why did that happen? Why did that make that decision? What were they thinking? What do they mean by it? Today, we're going to talk about that. Now, we are in a 9-part sermon series called Galatians, the letter that saved the church. And if you remember, the church, when it first got started, all one ethnicity, all Jewish people. And then Gentiles, the non-Jewish ethnic group, started coming to the church, and some of the Jewish Christian leaders, they said, these Gentiles coming in, they should become like us. They should become Jewish. They should follow the rules inside our Torah, inside the Hebrew scriptures. And Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, said no. He said, no. The gospel is not about following a bunch of rules in a book. No, the gospel is about union with Christ. So if you remember, when we put our faith in the faithfulness of Jesus, we enter into a spiritual union with Christ. Yes, I'm a great artist. So remember, this union with Christ changes everything. So 3 weeks ago, I said, when we are united with Christ, that justifies us. It makes us right. And first and foremost, it justifies our relationship with God. Our sins are forgiven. Why? Because when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. Yeah. Pastor Chris talked about how, you know what? All these other people were being pulled in, and that God, what God had in mind from the very beginning when he called Abraham, was to create this massive, multicultural, multi-ethnic, multilingual people of God, all in one body. And then last week, Pastor Adam reminded us that, you know, Jesus, he's actually the Son of God. So being in Jesus doesn't just mean that our sins are forgiven. We're actually adopted as children of God. We have the same status as Jesus. Awesome, right? Awesome. Great sermon last week. If you missed it, catch it online. So today, Paul's going to take us one step further on the logic. So if you have your Bible with you, please turn to Galatians chapter 4. We're looking at verses 12 through 20. Now, some of you know that I'm supposed to go all the way to verse 31. But that last section is going to take way too long to explain, so I'm going to kick it to the webinar tomorrow night. So if you want to learn more about that, check out the webinar tomorrow night. Today, we're focusing on verses 12 through 20, and this is where Paul is talking about his relationship with the people in Galatia. I plead with you, brothers and sisters, become like me, for I became like you. You did me no wrong. As you know, it was because of an illness that I first preached the gospel to you. And even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Instead, you welcomed me as if I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Where then is your blessing of me now? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. Have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? So here in this passage, we get to the backstory, right? Paul is traveling through Galatia. He was not going to stop there, but then he gets sick, right? So we have illness. What was the problem? Well, we're not sure, but maybe related to his eyes, perhaps. Paul is now in a foreign land, and he is sick, so he stops traveling. Well, when we, you know, traveling in a foreign land, in a foreign country, if we get sick or get in trouble, you know, we can contact the U.S. Embassy. Or we look for people we know, or maybe, you know, people with, you know, connection, maybe other Americans in the city, perhaps. Well, Paul didn't have that. There's no embassy to speak of. He didn't know anybody. And everybody in the area, they were of a different ethnicity. None of them were Jewish. There's no natural connection. And yet somehow, the people in Galatia started to take care of Paul. I just want to make an observation right now. Because I think, you know, we read Paul and we get to know Paul through his letters. And here's the problem. Paul, when he writes these letters, most of the time he's dealing with some kind of a problem. Okay, he's dealing with issues. So he's always using his, I don't know, teacher voice, debater voice, you know, the Old Testament expert voice. And so we're reading, we're like, man, Paul, this guy, he's always arguing, he's always debating, he's always lecturing. Does anybody really like Paul? I mean, is he a guy that you want to hang out with after work, right? Well, so here, in the middle of this angry tirade in the letter to the Galatians, we find out that, yeah, people like Paul. You welcome me as I were an angel of God, as if I were Christ Jesus himself. Yeah, absolutely people like Paul. He is sick. And yet they cared for him. They loved on him. Why? Most likely because Paul loved on them. And we get glimpses of this all over Paul's letters. We get glimpses that Paul is a man who inspires intense passion and loyalty with those who get to know him, especially those who accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. And why is that? Because they are his brothers and sisters. The Greek word there is adelphoi, translated brothers, or more accurately, siblings. And Paul uses family language to talk about the believers in Galatia. And he keeps doing that in the next paragraph. Those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. Next slide, please. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, how I wish I could be with you now and change my tone, because I am perplexed about you. You see that right here, right? More family language, my dear children. Now, I know in Christ we're supposed to be all brothers and sisters. So Paul, however, says, you know what? The Galatians, you're my children because I'm responsible for your faith. I'm the parent. Or more specifically, he's the mother. Right, you see that, right? He is in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Now if Paul were writing today, we'd be like, Paul, you're a guy. You don't know a thing about childbirth. Don't use childbirth as a metaphor. Stay away from that. Don't do it. But apparently it's okay in the first century. So I'm just going to ask those of you who are, you know, women listening, if you can just put that aside. Okay, sorry. Because Paul, he's using this metaphor for a very specific reason. He is talking about his pain. Yes, he is. He's talking about the pain that he's suffering because of what's going on in the churches in Galatia. However, he's using this metaphor because it's about producing life. He's in pain, and this pain is producing the life of Christ among the people in Galatia. And he says, I'm the mother, and I have a family relationship with the people there. Now, we need to remember at this point, okay, that Paul was writing in the late 40s or the early 50s of the first century. Now, this is like, the church has been around for like less than 20 years. Okay? So it's not like Paul's like, oh, we have this long tradition of calling people brothers and sisters, long tradition of seeing us as a family. No, this is new. Everything is new. So where does Paul get this stuff? Well, he gets it from Jesus. If you guys remember the story in the Gospels, right? Jesus' family, they think, oh, Jesus is crazy. So his mother and his brothers, they go to find Jesus, and Jesus happens to be in a house, totally crowded, and he's teaching in there. And so Jesus' mother and his brothers, they can't get in. So they send word in, and so finally, somebody in the room says, psst, hey, Jesus, your mom and your brothers are outside looking for you. And how does Jesus respond? Who are my mothers and my brothers? Jesus asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Who is my family? Jesus asked. Who is my family? Is it that woman who gave birth to me and raised me? Are those guys out there who live with me in the same household for so many years? Are they my family? Or is it you guys right here in front of me? Those of you who do God's will, which in this situation means those of you who believe in me, the will of God, to believe in me as the Messiah, as the King of the world. You see what's going on, right? Just like that, Jesus redefines the family with him at the center of it. This is a radical redefinition. Paul grabs it and provides the theological basis for it. We're all united in Christ. Jesus is the Son of God. We're all adopted as the Son of God. We call God Abba Father. Well, the next step is simple and obvious. If we're all united, all children of God, the same Father, then We are brothers and sisters. We, together, form the family of God. Now, this isn't just in Galatians, all right? Paul does this in all his letters. He uses his brother and sister's language 118 times. He talks endlessly about how God being the Father means the church is the family. All right, this concept is core to how Paul understands the church. So yes, we are family. And no, I'm not gonna sing that song. You're all thinking it. But here's the question. What did Paul mean by it, by us being family? Well, I think it means more than we realize. I want to introduce you to a couple of books by Joseph Hellerman. He's a New Testament scholar. The one on the left, The Ancient Church as Family, is more of an academic book. And then the When the Church Was a Family, more entry level. And in both these books, Hellerman describes the church in the first century in ways that we would not recognize. He talks about how in the first century, people have this very basic idea that you have one family, which is, you know, you have one true family, and this family claims your loyalty, okay, in a way that takes precedence over any other group. It is a place where you find identity. It is a place where you sacrifice your own needs and interests and desires for the sake of the family. And Hellerman said, in the first century, the Christ followers, they saw the church as family, and they lived it out. So Paul calling people brothers and sisters, that's not for the warm fuzzies. Paul's talking about finding our identity and putting our loyalty into the church as family. Let me just stop right there, because I think this could be difficult. I think this is a hard, hard teaching. And here's some reasons why. First of all, some of us, we like our natural family. Like my wife, I like my kids, I like my parents, I like my brothers and sisters. The idea that somehow this church is supposed to take precedence over my natural family, that sounds off. That doesn't sound right, right? When Jesus says, those who do the will of God, they're my brothers and sisters and mother. Well, if that's kind of a hyperbole or some kind of a metaphor or figure of speech, okay. But if he's being literal, that doesn't feel good. That doesn't sit right. Second, I think many of us have had bad experiences in churches, right? We met people that in the church that rub us the wrong way, and we're like, I don't want to be family with them. And finally, and I think this might be the hardest one, we're Americans. We live in an individualistic society. So I'm thinking many of us, we see the church as kind of a club or a gym. We show up once a week or twice a week. We have friends there. But the idea that we find our identity in the church, that we owe loyalty, that we sacrifice our interests and our need and our wants for the good of the church as family, that does not compute. That goes against our culture. So I could be wrong, but I'm guessing this topic doesn't resonate with many of us. And that's as it should be. Listen up, people. Listen up carefully. The Bible is countercultural. The Bible teaches things that go against our culture. It goes against what resonate with us. And the church as family is probably one of the most countercultural things the Bible teaches right now. Because it goes at the heart. It goes against the heart of American individualism. So let's be real. Do we see our church as our true family? And I'm gonna guess many of us do not. But that's okay. That really is. Because the Bible also teaches us that following Jesus is about figuring out how to live out our true spiritual reality. Right? For me individually, I'm in Jesus, okay? I'm supposed to then in some way act like Jesus. Well, do I act like Jesus? No, not even close. Ask my wife, Serena. But the Holy Spirit is working on it. Now, together as a community, we're supposed to be the family of God. Does everybody experience this church as family? No, but we're working on it. The Holy Spirit is working on it, and we are building a community to reach a community, or as Paul might have put it, we're building a family. We're building the family of God in order to invite everybody in. Now, what does family life actually look like for Paul in the first century? In the passage that we just looked at, Paul actually gives us four characteristics of what family life looks like. Number one, we take care of each other. Even though my illness was a trial to you, you did not treat me with contempt or scorn. Right? I can testify that if you could have done so, you would have torn out your eyes and give them to me. Basic to family life, we take care of each other, even when it's difficult. We bear each other's burdens and take care of each other's physical needs. The first century church was known for this in their society. We need to move toward that. Number two, we have honest disagreements. Paul asks in verse 16, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Families fight. And the church is a family. We need to be a place where we can have honest disagreements while maintaining the relationships. We need to be able to pull that off. And I know that is very, 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 very hard. Many of us come out of families where that didn't work at all. Right? We have disagreements, and we lost families, we lost brothers and sisters, we lost parents, we lost children. Relationships damaged, broken. We are afraid that if we say the wrong thing or the wrong word, we can turn a brother or sister into an enemy. And on top of that, well, this is whole Midwestern nice thing. That means we rather walk away than say anything. Man. But Paul knows all that. And he speaks the truth anyway. Because he has no choice. Because this family is the family of God. It reflects his characteristics. And so we need to work on becoming a place where we can have honest disagreements and still maintain the relationship. And we need to do that because, number three, our family is under threat. Paul says those people, the Jewish Christians who came from Jerusalem to Galatia, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. I remember these Jewish Christians, they come and they are zealous, they are passionate, they have the Torah, it says, cease it right there, get circumcised, follow the food laws, follow the Sabbath, it's right there, they are passionate. Well, what's wrong with that? What's the problem? What do they want? They want to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. They want to break up the family in Galatia. Look, these people in Jerusalem, they have a bone to pick with Paul. That's not a problem. They could have come to Galatia. Hey, we have a different perspective. Let's invite Paul back. Let's have a conversation at this church, and we can do this in a way that builds unity. But no, they opt for a character assassination. Paul's a people pleaser. They try to take down his credibility. Oh, he's not a true apostle. And in the process, they destroy the family of God, and that's why Paul is so angry. Today, we are bombarded with voices that are destroying the family of God. Cable news, podcasts, blogs, social media posts, voices for all kinds of causes. And some of the biggest voices are political voices. And these voices, they come into our family and they seek to alienate us and turn us from each other in order that we can have zeal for them and their causes. And most of the time, it's not true conversation, it's not true dialogue, it's character assassination, it's demonization of your opponents, it's calling to question other people's motives. It's not just political voices, all kinds of voices. People who are passionate about various causes, Christian causes, from voices of Christian voices, they speak in a way that break up families. Look, I just said, we need to be a place where we can have honest disagreements. Absolutely. But, oh man, the way these people talk, there's no concern for the unity of the local church. Every so often, I'll read a blog, and somebody will say, hey, this is an important cause, and you should talk about it in your church that you attend, but be careful. You need to make sure that the family is protected because the unity is important. I'll read that every so often, but they're so rare. By and large, we have a lot of passionate people out there, passionate for their causes, and they want you to be passionate for their causes, and they don't care about your family. But it's okay to be zealous, Paul says. There's nothing wrong with zealousness. It is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good. It's fine to be zealous. And Paul says, here's one place where I'm zealous. Paul, I'm going to show you where my zealousness lies. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you, I am zealous for Christ to be formed in my family. Now, real quick, what does it mean for Christ to be formed in you? United with Christ means I'm in Jesus and Jesus is in me. I'm in Jesus, that's instantaneous, boom. I am one with Christ, I am a son of God, I'm adopted, I am now part of this family. Jesus in me, that takes longer. Jesus starts small in me. Jesus starts growing in me. His life grows in me, and it takes time. It's a lifelong process. And so Paul says his passion, his zeal is to watch Christ form in other people in his family. We're the family of God. And here is the place where we are passionate about having Christ formed in us and to help it grow in the people around us. Where is your passion? Where is your zeal? So that's family life for Paul in the first century. If we're going to get practical, we need to talk about family life in 2021 and here at Blackhawk Church. And to do that, I had a conversation with earlier in the week with Tiffany Malloy. She is our pastor for adult spiritual formation. And so here's a clip of the chat. Hi, Tiffany.
Hey, Charles.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk about church as community
today.
That's
great. Because I've been talking about church as family.
Yep, that's right.
And it's been a weird season, right?
We've been
socially distancing.
Yeah.
So I'd like to find out, how are we doing? What have we been up to for the past 12 months?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So groups are a huge part of our strategy here at Blackhawk for building a community. And so that has been no different during this pandemic season. Our groups were able to move online pretty quickly after the pandemic began. And then they started meeting in person, outdoors, in garages and driveways and backyards. And so, man, it's been cool to see just people be able to flip on a dime to do that. And there's been a surprise. So people have started joining online groups from Minnesota, from Arizona, from Florida, from Israel. It's been crazy. It's been so fun. We actually even have some leaders leading from those places. So it's just been fun to see these little pockets of communities, of families pop up and walk with each other through this really difficult season.
Yeah. So how about some stories?
Oh, yeah. So, one fun story. So early in the pandemic, some of the seniors in our community were having a hard time getting online because, right, their internet wasn't fast enough, or maybe they didn't have a webcam. They didn't really need that in pre-pandemic life, but they were struggling. So we had some young adults who had come in and kind of raised their hand and said, hey, you know what? That's my thing. I'm happy to help. And so they were able to go into their homes with masks and, you know, face shields and quickly help these seniors get online so that they were able to connect to community, which is awesome. Another example, you know, we've had people in our community who have gotten sick with some pretty serious illnesses. And so seeing these groups rallying around these people, dropping off meals on their doorsteps or writing encouraging cards and sending it to them, taking them to doctor's appointments if they're not able to drive. So just really caring and being real family for each other. And finally, the last story I'll share is, so normally during the summer, groups will take a break because group leaders need a break and we just need a chance to, you know, miss each other. But in this season, during the pandemic, we, you know, a lot of our groups realized, hey, there are people in our groups, we're their only community. They're alone, they, you know, they live alone, they work at home now, and we need to support one another. And so it was cool to see a bunch of these groups continue to meet, even though it's hard, right? It gets exhausting. Yeah. But I'm just so proud to be a part of the Black Hawk community.
That's awesome. That's so encouraging, cool. Tiffany. Thank you. But you and I both know family is tough.
Yeah.
Family is hard.
Yeah.
So what have the challenges been over the past 12 months?
Yeah. I mean, I know that there are people, there's some of you watching who, when I tell those great stories, might be feeling like, that's not my story. Actually, I've felt alone. Actually, I've tried to join a group, but I haven't been able to find one that fits. And I so desperately desire that. Or my group stopped meeting and I feel lonely. Or I've gone through something really hard and nobody has reached out. And if that is you, I want to be the first person to say, I am sorry. That, it feels awful. And I know that there are a lot of you who are experiencing that. Also, can I encourage you to reach out and tell somebody? Because listen, it might be that the people in your life don't realize. We, you know, a lot of us have been kind of laser focused in just our very small bubble. I want to encourage you to reach out. Because here's the thing. I think a lot of us have been hurt, and a lot of us, there have been some struggles. But I think as we come together as a community, regather, re-see each other, there's going to be things that we need to talk through, but we're going to do it, and we're going to move forward, and we're going to have those hard conversations. So we do have some work, but I think we're going to do it, and it's going to be great.
Yeah. So, hey, you know, it does feel like we're moving into a new season.
Yep.
I mean, it feels like we're starting something. You know, the vaccination rates are going up,
yep.
And we're talking about getting, you know, in-person gathering March 21st.
Yep.
So what does Black Hawk as family look like
yep.
in this new season?
Yeah. You know, Charles, I'm really excited about that because I do think that there is an opportunity for us to be family in maybe a healthier and new way that we haven't in the past. I don't know about you, Charles, but for me, pre-pandemic life wasn't really working for me. You know, I think for a lot of us, we were living crazy, overscheduled, hectic lives. And so, you know, this pandemic has given us some opportunity to learn some things about ourselves and about our priorities, about what we hope for community. And so I think as we're looking ahead, looking forward, there's a few things that, you know, that we can be thinking about as we figure out how do we want this new season to look like. So the first thing is this. I think that we should keep in mind as we begin to regather and reimagine what community looks like is that there's going to be bumps in the road. You know, I've heard from people, young adults, middle-aged moms, and even men kind of in their 60s and 70s who've reached out to me and said, Tiffany, like, to be honest, I want to be honest with you. I'm kind of nervous about regathering, and it's not because I'm afraid of getting COVID. It's actually, I'm nervous because what if I don't fit in anymore? Like, what if I show up and people don't like me? Like, what if I've changed? And what if people, my whole group has been secretly hanging out and they haven't invited me during this whole time, right? And I'm just gonna learn about it when we're starting to regather, you know? And so I just think that there's these fears and these anxieties. And here's the thing, you guys, it is so normal. It is so normal. This is what many of us are feeling, and it is so okay. Uh-huh. But it's important that we say it out loud. And I just feel like I can rest assured, like we can be rest assured that we're gonna deal with it together. We're all feeling it. We're gonna move together in this. We're gonna you know, be patient when it takes some of us, Tiffany, you know, to get used to small talk again. Small talk's hard for many of us. That's okay. We're gonna be in the atrium and we're gonna learn. And we don't think we have to really worry too much about it. And the second thing that I want us to remember is that we are the church. Like, Charles, you're the church. I'm the church. You know, the people gathered in the room with you where you're watching, that y'all are the church. And so, you know, when somebody has a difficulty in my life group, Charles, it's not your job to really show up for them. It's my job, and it's like the 14 other people in our group. Job to show up and to choose to be Jesus to them, you know, with skin on. And so I think that... I think it's easy to maybe think that somebody else should be showing up for them, but what would it look like in this new season to just choose to show up, even if it's in small ways, to show up for our people? The next thing that I want to encourage us in is that the idea of being family or being community, it looks different in different stages. So, you know, group life, my whole team, we love group life. That is what we spend our time on. We believe in it. It's part of our core strategy here at Black Hawk for helping people to get community. But the reality is that it's not for everybody in different seasons. If you are a young parent, it might not be the season for you, and that is okay. But listen, we have to run after community in this next season in whatever way we can. So we can't choose not to have community because we can't be in a group. So maybe this is what community could look like for you. So what if you reach out to maybe like one or two people who are kind of running this race next to you and say, hey, do you just want to like meet for an hour on your back porch, asking each other a couple questions and then praying for one another? That could be community for you. Or if you are a family, maybe you would want to reach out to a couple other families and say, hey, guess what? Parenting is really hard. SOS, I need help. What if we got just our families, our craziness together once a month, and we put pizza and a movie on for the kids in the basement, and we just kind of share about what the reality of what parenting looks like right now and pray for one another and support one another? That could be community. Or what if, you decide, hey, I'm going to take a step and I'm going to join the tech team. I'm going to join the welcome team. What if you reach out to the people who are serving next to you and say, hey, I know we don't really know each other, but hey, we've been talking for a few weeks. It seems like we have some things in common. Would you come over and, just like have a bonfire tonight? It doesn't have to be big, but it's taking the step towards other people in this season. So I really want to encourage you in that. And so the last thing that I want to encourage us in, and this one is actually for people who are currently in groups or who have decided, I think group life is my next step. So, obviously I've talked about how groups are a great way for us to grow in community. And, it's a way that we're building a community to reach a community. But here's the thing. When you show up, when you sign up for a group and you show up, it doesn't mean that you're going to experience community. Like, it's not automatic, right? And so I think we just need to remember that that groups take effort, that community takes effort, family takes effort, that it's not easy. I think that we think about how we want to enter that space, or if groups want to re-talk about what does community look like as we go forward, I think we remember relationships take time. It's not instant. We need to be showing up to one another in authentic, real ways that are healthy. What could it look like to show up in each other's lives with compassion and humility and just looking to other people's needs before we look to our own? And I think that, if we can envision this, I think that that's the opportunity for community to grow best. I think that's the way that family works best. And it's hard. It's hard. It's like not easy. And there are times like lots of I'm sorry's, I forgive you's, wow, you totally messed up, wow, I totally messed up, right? So it's not easy. But I think that I think there's some real opportunity ahead of us. And so I just want to say, Blackhawk, let's be that kind of people. Let's be the kind of people that when people see the way that we love one another, they see God. And I think that that is the best apologetic. That is the best way of reaching our community, is by loving each other really well. And you guys, so that's what I dream about our community in this new season.
Wow. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Tiffany. That's so helpful for us. Practical, real ways that we can be family together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tiffany, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I love talking to Tiffany. I learned so much when I talked to Pastor Tiffany. She has such great practical pointers for how we can move forward to build community. People, listen up. We are the family of God. This is who we are. And there is a new season coming. Things are changing. You're feeling it. Let's move toward this. Let's move toward being the kind of people, being the family that God envisions. Okay? Let's live out who we're meant to be. Let me pray for us. Father, you know us. You know our struggles. You know that for so many of us, this church as identity, church as loyalty thing, that just doesn't even make sense to us. Because your Bible is so against our cultural assumptions, what we grew up with, what we're used to. And Father, we confess that, we lay that before you. We know that we're broken people. And we are far from your ideal. And you love us and you pour your grace out onto us. And we also know, man, we are united with you. And that our familyness, our brothers and sisterness is a reality. And we want to experience it and we want to live it out. And we want to do it right here at Blackhawk Church. So Father, we pray for your grace and for your Holy Spirit to be pouring upon us. And we pray that you give us the heart to respond, to move toward this, to love you and to love each other. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
that gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer. There is no more for heaven not to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus, for my life is solely bound to it. Oh, how strange and divine, I can see.
want to thank you so much for joining us today and for being a part of this service, for making time this morning. We hope that the message, the worship was encouraging to you, helped form and shape your heart today. Just a couple quick reminders before we close this service. First off, we are coming back together. We are in the period of kind of a phase reopening. And if you're someone who would love to serve and be a part of the team here, we'd love to know it. Make sure and go to our website, click that serve tab and let us know. And then as always, we're gonna have some discussion and reflection questions right after we close here. So please make time, take that moment. Trust me, the things for the day will still be there, but take the moment and let God show you what's going on in your own heart and what God wants to show you today. So take some time for that. To close the service, I simply want to do this. Just simply remind us of what Charles has said. You know, we are a family. And, you know, for many of us, we don't necessarily experience church that way right now, which is totally okay. That is totally okay. But that's something we want to work on. We don't want to stay in that space. We want to move towards how God sees this church. Here at Black Hawk Church, we want to be a family. We are building the family of God, a family that cares for one another. And we want to ask you, would you join us? Would you join us with the bumps in the road? Would you provide the grace along the way? Because at the end, we will be a place that looks like God. It looks like His people. That's what we're going after. That's our heart. And we want you to come along. We hope you join us next week. Have a great Sunday.